also talking about horticultural application of variable rate irrigation. I'm going to take a step back, though, and try to put things into my perspective of where we are today, talking about horticultural crops and precision or variable rate drip. And I'll feed a lot off of Itamar's talk in order to try to bring the things together. So I'm going to really step back and first talk, assuming that this audience is more people who are doing what I call traditional variable rate irrigation, which is with the center pivot, that what's the similarities and then the differences between what we're doing in field crops and what we should be doing or want to be doing in horticulture. So the similarities are obviously the major objectives. We want to manage spatial variability. We want to reduce water consumption, maximize process. We often, like Itamar said, wants to homogenize fields, especially at harvest. And that's our major objectives of wanting to put the spatial component into irrigation. Also common to horticulture is the challenge that we have today is to take the technologies and the data that are available to us and use them in decision making. That's one in defining the management zones themselves and then afterwards how to manage each zones, which Itamar very rightly is very concerned about. The differences are wide and all over the place, right? What we have, first of all, is the state of the beast, the nature of the beast. Horticulture is vegetables and fruit trees in general. And if we're managing a pepper crop that's very high, maybe a high value, but very small field size, and already managed or over-managed in such a way, and with some of these crops, it means over or luxury application of resources in order not to have variability. So if you already are spending and it works economically to have luxury application, then precision in the language of this room doesn't make sense at all. Where it could make sense is for the tree crops, the vineyard crops that we started hearing about. Because product quality is an issue, because the natural variability in some of these crops, and because when we start getting into trees, we do have size and natural variability that may pay off for it. The other thing that's different is the micro irrigation. We're used to these fixed systems, and we're used to not just managing water, but also managing nutrients through these systems. And that's a basic important thing, I think, that Itamar a little bit trivialized it. And I think it's more important than that, has to be addressed as we're developing systems. And the last thing that I believe is very important for us to keep in mind is that because we're dealing with trees or vines that are individual, discrete data points, then our whole concept of how we're doing mapping and how we're doing the statistics with the decision making is going to have to be unique. We can't necessarily take the tools that are coming out of the field crops and use them. And I'll try to explain that a little bit more in an additional slide. So I want to start with the what I think is the major problem. That's the technological challenge. How do we have variable rate when in a drip system? And I see two concepts. The first is what we heard from Itamar. And I call it lots of valves and pipes, right? If we hydraulically and control-wise bring water and measure it in each very little tiny part of our field or whatever size, pixel in the terminology that Itamar was using, do it, then we can do variable rate. If the pixels or the units are small enough, then you can mix them up like you were showing. Now, that's possible, but it's expensive. So you really need to be able to justify it, right? The smaller the units, the bigger the number of zones, the more the investment in order to make that happen that way. And it's still rigid, so you're still limited to what you decided when you built it. The other methodology for going in would be to have a variable rate dripper, right? And this is tricky, first of all, because it's the antithesis of all of engineering of drippers ever since they were created. Because drippers are designed to give the same flow rate no matter what happens, right? That's the whole idea. So this solution isn't going to come from the drip irrigation companies, because their engineers are fixed in their technologies and their engineering, and they're this. It may be able to come from outside, and we'll talk about that a little bit more too when we get into the future. Today, there's some variable rate micro units that are out there in the field, but they're not the kind of things we're going to use commercially in agriculture, not reliable and not cheap enough. And there's some things being developed, and I'll bring this picture back too and talk about it for a minute because it's interesting, but it's not on the market yet. Right? And then the next issue is what I call the conflict of smart versus precise. People who developed drip irrigation called it precise when they developed it. This is what we do. We have precision application of this. So what we need to do to talk when I'll give up the word precise to the people who are dealing with spatial variability, and assume that precise means that we're dealing with spatial issues. But then we need another word for what we do have for the drip irrigation already, and let's call it smart. And I've stolen this from Victor. I want to give him credit for the smart versus precise. So drip irrigation already has high temporal resolution, exact and uniform application. We're highly efficient with our application of what we're designed to do it. And this issue of it's not just water, it's also nutrient management that these systems are allowing us to do. This is part of the smart. We're already smart. We're already doing a pretty good job compared to the world of water management when we're using our conventional drip systems. So we're challenged to not lose the smart if we decide that the spatial issues are important for us to also want to be precise. And some of our solutions we're compromising some of the smart. And I want to be careful that we don't compromise that smart too much as we go into things. And this is when we get into these discussions of, okay, how do we fertilize? That's the first one, but there's other issues that also come up with it. That this was recognized, not in these words, by these people from England I don't have the name of the journal. I think it's the Journal of Agriculture and Food and Agricultural Science or something like that a couple years ago, who actually used the terminology very misappropriate. They use precision for everything, including my smart. But they do have a section in this paper where they talk about actual variable rate and in horticulture and the challenges and say more or less the same things that I was saying here. I'm going to give them credit for it. So what I'm going to do now is continue a little bit with the literature and go into what we have out there for now. The first topics I'm not going to talk about. There is a whole lot of work going on with horticultural crops on remote sensing and soil-based or plant-based near sensing for both monitoring water stress or water status and for irrigation scheduling. It's great work. It's important work. They're getting really far. When we have the technology for precision irrigation, we're going to have the tools to be able to build the algorithms, to be able to do the work, because there's people working on it. It's out there. Whatever you're interested in, you're going to be able to find. What we have much less of is people working on actual variable rate irrigation for emitter technology, and I'll bring up the two examples that we can find in the literature. And what we do have is our feasibility studies, and those feasibility studies range from making prescription maps but not doing anything with them. But again, it's all already very important to know how we're going to make those prescription maps. Two, actually having applications of irrigating based on this, at least to a certain extent, if not commercially, in the example that we saw from Itamar before. They go pretty far. The ones that go the farthest are all wine grapes, right? That's the horticulture that has the variability and has the value and has the sensitivity to water that justifies even the big expense of how to make it happen today. So the technology. So the first one, we come back to lots of valves and pipes. And lots of valves and pipes would be have to have some kind of a controller. You have to be able to bring to each unit that you're irrigating both hydraulically the water and the controlling. You need to have a water meter at least to know how much water is going into each one. And the only literature that's out there is sitting in the room that really mentions how to make these kind of things happen. And Itamar didn't talk about the actual solution itself, but him and some of the precursors from the work he was doing with the Gallo things, which is IBM before him, have been doing and sometimes published in conference papers about this kind of a solution. The variable rate emitters are way behind. And limited to one case, also a conference paper of a group out of Davis, California, who have a emitter that can change rate. And what's nifty about it is you have to come to each emitter and change and adjust it. But they have a robot that can be hooked up to your prescription mat, and if you put it on each dripper, it knows how to adjust each one. So if this one still means somebody has to go from dripper to dripper, but we could conceptualize a robot bringing it from dripper to dripper and then automating the ability to be able to change flow rates and to be able to change management zones on the run. So that's the most interesting thing that I was able to come up with when I was starting going into this and looking, but it's not on the market. It's just been, I don't even know where it stands on this. So beyond that, I want to talk a little bit about what else is out there and being worked on. One of the things are to actually make the prescription maps. And based on information that we're bringing in, we have technologies, we have information, we have capability of getting this almost endless amount of data. This, admittedly, there's other people working on this. These are groups that I'm involved with who are recognizing the fact that these data points that are coming from trees, in this case from plums and from grapefruit in different places in Europe, need their own spatial statistics to be able to work with them the right ways. That to do kriging between two points that are discrete is problematic. First of all, if we were mapping the weights of the people in the room, and we had a point here and a point here, and there's no trees in the middle, trees, people, using this data, they're using these statistical methods that are traditionally used in field crops would put a medium-sized tree or person in the seat in the middle. Of course, that's not the case. There's no person there. Maybe even worse, if we had a data point here and here and we wanted to measure Shmulik and how much he weighed, but taking these two databases and doing that kind of regression or the kriging that's done isn't necessarily going to be successfully give us Shmulik's weight. So we do. There are better statistics out there. There are more appropriate. I should have used Naftali for the example. Yeah, I should have. But that's... There are other fields and things using hot spot and cold spot analysis that I think we should be able to more and more adopt and apply towards the things that we're doing, and we're trying to start with it. There's some other groups that are doing it as well. Stepping a little bit backwards, this Greek group did a nice review about precision horticulture in general. But their conclusion about water was, if you don't do it before you put the system out, then there's no chance of doing irrigation. So it's a one-time shot with them. It's not really VRI. It's a one-time opportunity to make management zones that make sense based on soil properties or something. There's other people who are going farther, and now we're into vineyards. So if we want to get farther than what I've talked about already, it's only in wine grapes, because that's where the work is being done and has been done for the reasons that Itamar and I both talked about. A group in Chile working on the feasibility of using crop water stress index thermal-based as a stem water potential analogy. They're both making the prescription maps and managing them in this paper. Another group in Australia, which I think they're really coming up with something. In fact, they're using NDVI approach like Itamar was talking about, but they've recognized the fact that the management zones should or must or do change over the course of a season. Now, they don't have the technology to necessarily do that changes and to irrigate it, so there's really a feasibility thing, but they're recognizing the fact that we might want spatial or temporal resolution better than what we're talking about sometimes in horticulture. In general, the best works, and again, some of them are these precursors to what Itamar showed us and what he showed us now, this group in Davis and a group or two in northern Spain, in Catalonia, we have to be politically correct with them these days, so I don't know how to call them, where basically what they're doing is this same concept that we heard about already this morning. You take a season or two to define the variability based on all kinds of data that you're gathering. You restructure the irrigation based on that, whether it's through the pixels or through changing the whole irrigation system, doesn't really matter. You then do site-specific management for a year or two and prove that you're getting better results and demonstrate that it all paid off. I don't know any of these who go back and do this again, right? So most of these are set irrigation systems that they change one time, and not the kind of thing that we're seeing with the pixels that are small enough to really make it more dynamic. I want to spend the rest of the time I have talking about what our group in Israel is starting to do. We're 1 year into this project. I've listed the major collaborators here. This is headed by Victor Elchanatis, who's sitting here in the audience. Again, give him all the credit for making it. We're pretty well funded, and we're a nice multidisciplinary group, and I'm excited about the opportunities that we're having. It's all very new because we're just 1 year into it, of course. And what we're doing is looking at each of the three major objects that I've been talking about. The challenging is in one is the drip technology itself, with looking at both the directions. I'll have a slide on it next. Next is what we're calling design and sampling. That's the initial decision making for deciding what the management zones are, and questions of sensors and sensor placement and using information for making decisions within each management zone once you're deciding to irrigate them. And third is more the remote sensing issues, both talking about how to use data and make it more accessible and more correct for using, and enabling dynamic looking within a season of evaluating the management zones themselves. So the VRI drip irrigation technology that we're looking at, and Victor is looking at, are one small, inexpensive wireless valves and hydraulic systems to be able to enable subdividing these fields cheaper and easier. So it's the same things we heard from Itamar. The idea is to make it cheaper, right? You make these, it's a valve that you can put out in the middle of the field, and it communicates this, and you can make it smaller. And if you work that right, it may allow the economics to be a little bit better. And the second is actually going into variable drippers. We want to do it with a remote ability to adjust them. So you can envision a dripper that has on and off or low and high, and drippers throughout the field, but the trigger for turning it off, on or off, would be a magnet that sits on a tractor with the GPS system. So that would enable a much easier more automatic way. We're not there yet, but we're bringing in engineers from material and electronic sciences that from outside that are working with the kinds of things in other fields that suggest that kind of a solution could be economical and successful down the line. Where our other approaches is to have field studies to both evaluate the ideas and develop them. So two sites with a wine grape vineyard, of course, and a peach orchard, both 2-plus hectare fields divided into 20 units. We spent the last year gathering data and describing the variability within these sites. In the next year, we're going to manage half of the units here, the 1/10 hectare units, which enable us to use some satellite data, because that would be the size of the pixel that we would need to do it, and to in the first year do site-specific irrigation based on soil water potential models for each of these crop, and in the years after that to try to use remote and continuous sensing as proxies for the stem water potential to make it even more practical for doing the remote sensing material. This is, I think, a teaser for your talk tomorrow. That is focusing on improvement of resolution and usefulness of the data through several different methods for combining different scales of remote data. Come to Victor's talk tomorrow to hear about it. So we're going to try to develop the ideas I was talking about of the better spatial statistics for trees, do dynamic management of these zones based on combinations of remote and other sensing throughout the seasons, use sensors successfully, and try to get to our objective functions, which are basically to profit better from these things. So for me to finish up before the time's over, take home, maybe if you're invited to come harvest, can you see that picture? No one's giggling, but that's you're about it. So this guy came and helped us harvest the sample grapevines before the automatic harvester came through, and he was welcome to take a grape home with him. I don't know if you can see him holding that. And you're welcome to come next season and do that as well. But for now, I think what we can conclude with is that there is potential for practical application of VRI in horticulture, but it's going to be limited to the high-value, larger field fruit trees and vineyards. There are big technological challenges, especially going from static zones to true variable rate technology, if we really want to go all the way with it, and we're not there yet, but we hope to get there. We have challenges in data and use and understanding and applications that get into this issue of smarter precise, because we're already using drip irrigation and using these discrete data points. And for now, the concentration of potential is really the grapevine. So for now, we have some precision approaches in horticulture, haven't we? Don't really have real VRI the way I think it should be, but I really would welcome any of you who think that we have commonalities here to talk with us. I'm very interested in doing that kind of collaboration. Thank you for your time today.